first number called gets the first hymn sung or played.
You've got one, shout it out, folks.
We'll take one each tonight. There's four here, five here, and we can sing five if we want.
406.
That's me.
Sorry.
I did the heaters, he did the electrics.
You should have had a limited machine
or cabinet. Sang 20,000 verses of a different hymn.
You had to hear this because it's going to go quick. The end
of
the
couple.
Who is all?
another one anywhere.
145. As well with my soul.
Let's stand as we sing 145.
Singing that, he would always sing. Is it the descant? Is that what you call it? Just in the chorus there. Always reminds me of. We're going to be looking at Isaiah 53. We referred to it a few times this morning as part of our service, and I thought it would be an excellent opportunity just to bring it more completely to your attention this evening as part of the service. I appreciate Christy leading the service I am getting stronger and stronger. On the one hand, I would like to be able to do the two services on the Lord's Day, but I am still, my voice is still not quite up to it. I'm getting there. Isaiah 53, we're going to begin in verse number 1. There are only, there's only a dozen verses. Some of the most powerful verses in the Word of God. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. So many things there that speak of one man, that Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us all. And you know what? We should be thankful that he did. Amen. I think it's pretty much the same folks that were here this morning. So has anybody got any more prayer requests? Anything that they'd want for us to pray for explicitly? Or if you have a private prayer request that you and the Lord know, but we'll just remind the Lord about your private prayer request, stick your hand up for a private prayer request. Norman, we have you already. Norman, thank you. All right, thank you. That's just about everybody. Well, everybody that I have in the wee line here. We mentioned Taylor Roth. She'll be travelling in about, 4 weeks' time? Even that long? It wouldn't be 3 weeks. Wouldn't be that long. Please do pray for Taylor. That's Brother Christie's intended. Please do pray for safe travels and good health. And I was going to say over this next month, but, you know, in general, please do pray about that. Ling has an IELTS exam, and I'm not sure what all the letters stand for, but it's to do with, it's an English language qualification that will enable her to, do more work and have a broader customer base and be accepted by the NHS for treatment. So please do pray about that. We are, Lord willing, we will be accompanying her down to Dublin. It's a job that Frank would normally do, but it just goes to show you, it takes 2 55-year-olds to do the work of 1 21-year-old. Amen. So please do pray for us as we travel. The Lord's will in it all. I'm not sure exactly what the rule of law is going to be at that time. Please do remember that. There's plenty going on in the world. Please do pray for our own country, for America, most especially for Israel, because Israel's, how would you put it, profile in the world seems to go up whenever America and the UK are living a bit more conservatively or closely with God. So please do pray for God's children. They're still God's physical children in this world. They're mentioned in the Bible. He's not done with them yet. And they will keep going until the clock stops ticking and every single soul goes up to heaven, or indeed to the great white throne of judgment and the lake of fire. There's a few other things that are on there. We didn't mention it this morning, but please do bear in mind those that have lost loved ones. And we think especially on Christine and Norman. We have them with us here. Please do pray for wee Kate Cairns. And please do pray for the Cardwell family in Portadown, for the Gilbert family over in America. And what was that other family? Lost, young family, lost a dad and a husband. What was their name again? Locally, it was in Northern Ireland here.
Oh, the Chambers family.
Chambers?
John met Karen's cousin.
I think so.
Chambers.
Please do pray for them as well.
Cousins.
Okay. I think that's about that. My dad got home safe and sound because he rang us just to let us know. We're glad to have him and look forward to having him back again. If anybody needs any hints or tips on having a quiet Christmas, just give me a shout. I've had 1 year of practice and I'd be more than happy to share some of my wisdom. Hopefully I never have a quiet Christmas like that again. But we live in interesting times. All of them are written in the Bible. And whilst there are a few ups and downs between now and eternity, I'll tell you one thing for sure. The good guys win. God wins, and anyone that's on God's side is going to win with them. So keep your eyes upon the Lord, regardless of what happens to you. And there's going to come a day when people will be saying, "Where did such and such a bad boy go to?" And the Bible says over and over, there'll be found no place for them. So keep your eyes on the Lord. Please do pray for each other. It is okay to pray for yourself. The model prayer says, "Give us this day our daily bread," which means to pray for your own needs day by day as well. I think that's about that. If you're all good, we'll have a word of prayer and then we'll hand the service back to Christy. Thank you, Lord, again for this time in your presence. Lord, just for the freedom to sing your praises, to be together, Lord, to turn the lights on and the heat on and just to look out and see like-minded brethren. Pray your very good hand upon each one of us and, of course, upon our absent brethren, Ling, Frank, Will, good old Leonard, Esther, Pat and Steve, Carol and John and Stephen. I pray you, Lord, for whatever's going on there. Please help all of these souls and, of course, those that have slipped and slid. Lord, for all of the prayer requests for those that have lost loved ones recently, Lord, I pray you for comfort and strength. And guidance, I pray you for the family that is the church. And I pray you, Lord, that you would just inspire each one of us to do the things that we need to do. Now I pray you, Father, for the rest of the service, that you would inspire Brother Christy. We look forward to his ongoing study in Acts. Give him the words to speak to us. And Lord, let us look for and indeed find the pearls of wisdom and the nuggets of gold that we know are hidden there in your word. Bless us now, Lord. Thank you again. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Christy. God bless you, brother.
Another favorite, Christine or Monica, I think this is the last two.
Do you know 333? And if you don't, I have a second place.
Across the page. 332. that full surrender know that the streams of living water from our inner man may flow, channels only blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour.
Amen. We can sing one more. Christine, if you have a choice. If not, we can leave it until the end.
319.
Steve will be happy to hear this one. In Acts chapter 11 tonight. Acts 11. And if I was to look at this not as the one bringing the study, I would guess it was going to be called the Christian Church. Finishing off that, but it's not. The topic tonight is the Church of Ministry, which in turn could be classified as a Christian church, but let's see how we go and where we go. I have 2 points to make, and we'll not talk about how many number of sub-points I have under those 2 points. Starting at verse 19, we finished at verse 18 last week, so we'll continue on and read until the end of the chapter. Acts 11, verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, only spoke unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. And tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. And when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Amen. Let us pray before we get in. Lord, we're thankful for the day, for your goodness. Lord, for the service this morning, for the service thus far. Please bless, undertake. Please deal in hearts and minds. Lord, honor your word tonight, we pray. Lead us in your word, Lord. Give knowledge, wisdom, understanding, Lord. Just convict greatly, Lord. Just deal in hearts and minds as you see fit. Help us tonight be with those that couldn't be with us, Lord. Help them minister to their needs. Protect them, Lord. I pray salvation of lost souls, Lord, edification and exhortation here amongst us, and Lord, those that would listen. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Always start with just a quick synopsis of the previous weeks, and it was the disconnected church where when Peter had returned from the house of Cornelius, he was met with accusation of going in amongst the Gentiles and breaking old Jewish traditions and being a faithful Jew, breaking those laws. We noticed some disconnects, but once they heard the matter from the start and Peter rehearsed the vision that he had and Cornelius had, the men at the time held their peace and glorified God, acknowledging that the church has now expanded and salvation to those of the Gentiles. It is a wonderful privilege to be able to serve or provide ministry on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. Serving the Lord, it isn't just a destination. We all say, you know, our final destination is heaven, and that's good and wonderful. It is a journey. It's a journey there to your final destination. There is steps in this walk with the Lord that need to be taken daily, weekly, monthly, and once in a lifetime steps as well. And here we have a big step in that the first church being spawned at Antioch at this time. Acts 11 opens with Peter just proclaiming that God had opened the doors to minister to the Gentiles at the house of Cornelius, and with closing statements in verse 17. And here we see the rest of the Christians that were scattered abroad based on the persecution that arose after Stephen was killed, traveling all abroad to Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch, it says, and they only preached to the Jews. They hadn't yet been aware that the word of God was available to the Gentiles. They hadn't heard that from Jerusalem as yet. But there was certain brave of them. We see of certain men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they came to Antioch, they spoke to the Grecians and they preached the Lord Jesus to them. Our text focuses on Antioch, and this is Luke documenting the beginnings of the church at Antioch, which some would later say would be the mother church to the mission to Asia and even Europe in the following times. But this is the early church's movements and ministry to those Grecians at Antioch. And I like looking at words. I like looking at meanings of words, especially when you're about to study a portion of God's word. And our main word tonight is ministry or minister. We know it as a church leader, someone, a pastor, a preacher, someone who leads God's children. Some of us know it as a politician. A minister, really. The word minister is derived from Latin ministrae, which the meaning, it didn't surprise me, but I just never thought of it like this. Inferior, servant, minus, less, subordinate. So really, someone who is a minister looks at their needs as less than the needs of others. They take what they have and they apply a minus sign to that, and put a plus sign on top of someone else as they provide for them. They count themselves inferior to those that they are charged with, those that they see in need, and they just fill the gap for them. But what a wonder, great wonder it is that God could take a sinful soul, one that is selfish, that is self-centered, that is egotistical, and change him fully into someone that is selfless, that's caring, that's kind, that has a desire and a great constraint for the needs of others. What a great wonder. And this is the wonder of ministry. When we see that a soul who meets God and on the path, just like Saul on the road to Damascus, that gets to the foot of the cross and sees Jesus and truly submits to God, his life and his way and his will, then we see a great change. And this is a wonderful sight to behold. It is great to observe when a soul has changed from fully being wrapped up in themselves to now spreading abroad the love that was shown to them through Jesus Christ. But here we have the ministry. We see that not only now are they just preaching to the Jews, they're preaching to the Grecians. And I want to say that the wonder of ministry or ministry is centered on preaching. It's centered on preaching. And here, this quote kind of invalidates my study to some extent, but I'm going to say it anyway. Some man said, if you can fully explain the church, then something's wrong. So that invalidates my whole study through Acts. In other words, if you only have methodology and organizational technique, you've departed from what God wanted it to be. So it doesn't fully invalidate the study. We're looking at characteristics of a church rather than trying to fully explain it. But it's not all just about a good performance. It's not about putting organizations and certain people to ministries. It's about being open to God's leading and guiding and being willing to fill a need. First, the scattered Christians would only preach to the Jews, but eventually it went to the Gentiles. And it centered around preaching. They preached Jesus, it said. They preached Jesus to the Jews and they preached Jesus to the Gentiles. The need was similar. It didn't matter who they were, who was the hearer or on the receiving end. They needed to hear Jesus. The apostles and those other Christians involved in the ministry, they didn't deliver their opinions. It was clear and obvious that the apostles, who were primarily Jews previous to meeting Jesus, would have disagreed with these folks that they were ministering to, especially in Antioch. They hated each other in a previous life, in a previous time. Of course. So what they did was they set aside their opinions about maybe politics, about lands, about service, about routines and rituals and traditions. They set that aside, and they, rightly so, they prioritized the preaching of Jesus Christ and the gospel, the truths of God's word and the doctrines therein. And that's what they delivered. You see, there's no doubt that we will disagree, and even each of us on certain topics here tonight amongst God's, in God's house, would disagree on certain things. That's beside the matter, but what we ought to agree on and be of one mind of and of one accord is the doctrines within God's word. And that's what the disciples rightly regarded as their main responsibility. And center, the ministry is preaching, but central to the preaching of the message was the gospel. And there's no gospel without Jesus. So central to the gospel is Jesus. And that was the centerpiece of every message that the disciples had preached. We have seen multiple messages, Peter preaching in the synagogue, answering his accusers. As they were arrested, put before the Sanhedrin, he preaches again. Every message had centered around the power of God, that he gave his son to die for the sins of men, and he rose again for their justification, and now that he is willing to accept anyone who will come to him. And that message hasn't changed, and the need's still there. More so than the center, the center of that is love. Love for your fellow man, love for your fellow citizens. And love for each other, especially those of the household of faith, the Bible says. Do good unto all men, but especially those of the household of faith. 21 tells us that the hand of the Lord was with them. You see, it wasn't their own power that they were doing things upon. It was the Holy Spirit that was filling them and working through them, that blessed the ministry and provided immediate results. I've heard of many ministries that spent years and years upon years working faithfully in the field, and not one soul gets saved immediately. And that's not because God wasn't with them. That just wasn't how God intended it to be at that time. But here in the early church, it was the hand of the Lord working with this church that brought immediate results, and the results is on the latter part of verse 21. A great number believed and turned unto the Lord. And what a description of faith and repentance. Believing and turning. Turning to the Lord and away from your previous life, self, habits, all your likes. Turning to the Lord and turning away from sin. The energy of God accompanied these preachers, and he applied God's truth to the souls of those who would listen and hear. You see, the apostles alone couldn't have produced these results without the hand of the Lord being with them. Any preacher of God's word can't stand at a pulpit and produce any results. I read an account of one preacher who had a sermon written out, and he read it in a monotone voice. I think it was called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. It was Edwards that preached that, wasn't it? He read it in a monotone voice, but God convicted greatly those that heard him, and people still came forth to get saved. You see, it doesn't matter how a message is delivered. If God is there and the power of God is within it, and God puts his hand and blessing upon it, well, it will achieve what God sets it out to achieve. My word will not return void, the Lord says. But the power of God was with him. When the gospel came to Cornelius in his house and he became a follower of Jesus, it came to a man who was already a God-fearer, who already had a respect and respectful fear of the God of Israel. But when it came to the city of Antioch, it truly came, as many have speculated, to a pagan city. This was one who was wholly focused upon business, and there was no morality at all here, is what they say. And they didn't go in with great business ideas, telling them how they could apply, you know, great techniques to their business and achieve great success. They didn't go in purely with moral laws and say, you need to improve this and improve that. They went in with the Word of God and with Jesus. And that's what made the difference. See, we can turn people to a certain personality without the hand of the Lord. And we can turn people to a certain social club without the hand of the Lord. And we can even turn people to a certain church or institution without the hand of the Lord. But without the hand of the Lord, we can't turn people to the Lord. It's only with the hand of the Lord that souls will truly believe and turn to him. The next verse, as we start Acts 11, was news traveling again. And here in verse 22, we have news traveling back to Jerusalem, what was going on at Antioch. They hear it, and I suppose this is always the way that it is. You know, when souls hear about things, they run to those that they deem important and say, did you hear what's going on? And here we have it again. These Jews of the time, or early Christians in the church, ran to the church at Jerusalem and said, here's what's going on at Antioch. You know, Peter's there, he's preaching. And then they send Barnabas. Barnabas was known for his great generosity. In Acts chapter 4, it talks about when he had lands and sold it and gave to the apostles' feet. He was known for his warm welcome of Saul after he had been converted in Acts chapter 9. And here, he's described as a good man, a man full of the Holy Ghost in verse 24 and of faith. So they sent an able man. They didn't just send anyone. They knew he was fit and able. They knew he was faithful, and he was willing to sacrifice all under the name of ministry. Where he seen a need, he was willing to step in and meet it. But there was something about the temperature, the atmosphere, the work at Antioch that enabled Barnabas to see the grace of God. I don't know if it was how intently they listened or how openly they received what was being preached. It doesn't tell us what exactly caused them to see the grace of God. Also, we know that the grace of God was there, and that made him glad. And that should ever be present amongst a gathering of believers, the grace of God. That should be evident. The grace that we've received from God, we should always, always be willing to pass on to the souls who come into contact with us. It should always be about grace, that undeserving favor that we received. Because salvation is not of works. and it'll make you glad, and it'll make lost souls glad when they come into our company and see that the grace of God's present, not only present with us, but they can receive it as well. But he exhorts them, he urges them, he challenges them, he says, with purpose of heart, he says, it's going to take work. Would you cleave to the Lord? Cling to him. And when I hear the word cleave, the first thing I think of is a tongue cleaving to the roof of your mouth. When you're thirsty, when you're in pain, first thing that happens is the tongue raises and sticks to the top, the roof of your mouth. And that's a purposeful action. It just doesn't go there itself. It's a muscle that needs to be moved. And so is our bodies. We need to move purposely towards the Lord, and with all that we have within us, cling unto the Lord. And that's what Barnabas told them so. After he gets there and exhorts them, we see much more people were added unto the Lord. And he was now becoming a leader in this church and in this company. And what he did, his technique for building the church was to strengthen those he already had in the church, to build them up, to disciple them, to teach them all that they needed to know, so that they could go about their individual lives, teaching others and showing forth the grace of God to others. It wasn't that they needed to come to church first to receive that. He knew that the only Bible that many souls out and around about in Antioch would read would be those of the souls that he had under his discipleship. Ephesians 4:11-16 will tell you that God gave some apostles, preachers, teachers, evangelists, all for the purpose of strengthening the body of Christ. We strengthen the body and we give them, and Christians start to mature and grow in grace and in knowledge. Then Jesus becomes more a part of our lives. And his love shed his love abroad in our hearts. Then the light of the gospel will shine to those that don't yet know him. Barnabas, I don't know if it's through tiredness. I don't know if it's the work fully dependent upon him, or he sees the number of souls growing in the church and knows that he needs more than just one man. He departs then to Tarsus and seeks out Saul. And what a good choice it was to have Saul. You know, Saul was just not so long converted at this point. So he would have known what these new believers, exactly what they were experiencing, feeling, maybe amongst their family and friends, the separation that they would suffer, you know, from a complete turnaround of their life. Not only that, he was aware of the New Testament. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, he said. And when he found him, he brought him back, and they spent a whole year there, it says in verse 26. And they taught much people. And then the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And you know, many say that, and I even say it as well, is that, you know, they had seen Jesus there amongst the people. I do believe that. Yes, they had seen the people looking like Jesus, talking like Jesus, learning about Jesus, accepting Jesus as their teacher, their main source of authority that they need to submit to, the purpose that their life would hereafter have. But I also believe that this Jew-Gentile separation needed something to bridge the gap between them, and that was the name Christian. It doesn't tell us who gave them the name. It doesn't tell us whether it was friends or enemies. It might have been like Baptist, just a nickname at the first. But then it grew. But what we do know is that here's the first use of the term Christians at the church which was planted at Antioch. A year in the building with Paul and Barnabas leading the way. And not only them, they start inviting preachers from Jerusalem in verse 27. One named Agabus. And I thought this was very apt for today. He rises up in the Spirit. The Spirit confirms what he's about to say and says there's going to be a great shortage of food, a great dearth throughout all the world. And that came to pass under Claudius Caesar. And there are going to be families in our day today struggling for food as people lose jobs through this current pandemic that we're going through. But the disciples then take it upon themselves and they see the need. And they go about of what they have, seeing and determining how they could meet the folks' need. They made less of themselves and made more of the folks that had need. And they sent relief unto the brethren, which dwelt in Judea. He sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So here we have a great work. We see at Antioch, the spiritual need was met. They discipled these newly born-again Christians. But then they also seen that the world had a greater need, a very physical need. Yes, they understood that the spiritual need was very real, but so was the physical need. And oftentimes when we meet the physical need, it leads us in through an open door to start tending the spiritual needs. A.W. Tozer gave a quote about ministry. And ministry really is our everyday lives. We're all ministers. It's not just the pastor's job. I know we class clergymen as ministers, but every Christian ought to be a minister. A.W. Tozer said it like this: let every man abide in the calling wherein he is called, and his work will be as sacred as the work of the ministry. It is not what a man does that determines whether his work is sacred or secular. It is why he does it. And if you go about your day-to-day work and tasks, and you try to find God there, and you do as God leads and guides in those tasks, that work will be just as sacred as the work of standing behind a pulpit and preaching God's word. Because then it will make the difference to lost souls. We need to be a church of ministry, but not only a church collectively of ministry, but an individual church of ministry. I think Christine has a ministry of trying to stop me smelling at the minute. I'm getting prayed for. But everyone can have their own little ministry. I mentioned recently there is a charitable event running of the kindness of strangers. If you're in a place to give, then please look it up and give. It's children who are within families who are hard up, just making their little wish for Christmas. And they're looking for people to come forward and provide that need and be a blessing to those children. Let us be a church of ministry. I don't know what God will have you do. God will tell you that exactly himself. Just go to God and be willing to minister. Be willing to be less. Be willing to be a subordinate. Be willing to be inferior. God said the greatest of you needs to be the least. Mm-hmm. Amen. The first to be last and the last to be first is what he said as well. Anyone got a close on him? Did everyone choose? Everyone did choose. We'll sing 18. I'll choose.
I had a second one, but I live with that.
Hymn number 18. Did that sound like a poem?
Sounded like the start of it.
Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then wherever you go. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Oh, the precious name of Jesus, how it thrills our souls with joy. When his loving arms our tongues employ. Precious name, O hush sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, O hush sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. At the name of Jesus bowing, falling prostrate at his feet, King of kings in heaven upon him, when our journey is complete. Precious name, O heart sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, O heart sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven.
Man, don't do what you do for the income, do it for the outcome. Preacher certainly doesn't preach for the income, not in this church. Just look towards the outcome. Amen. Mark, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Dear loving Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the day. We know the circumstances of our meeting, Lord, and how many other places of worship are closed. I just pray, please, that you would secure the hearts and minds of all those that love you and have trusted in you as their Savior at this very difficult time. Bless us as we part company, Brother Christie, for his efforts in bringing us the word today, for the good thoughts, Lord, for the reminder of the way we need to be living and behaving. Lord, look after all those that would stand for you. Protect provision, and Lord, give wisdom and words to him. We just love you and thank you and pray for our safe travels home. We look forward to being back at the next appointed time.